You are listening to Holy Words from Holy Cross, the sermon podcast of Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church in Nazareth, Pennsylvania. We hope you find these words a blessing in your daily walk with God. Please visit us on the web at www.holycrossnazareth.org or in person at 696 Johnson Road, Nazareth, Pennsylvania.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art.
So the last time we were out here, I said that I felt like we should sing This Is My Father's World. So I put that first and foremost on the bulletin for today. A point of contact between Christianity and the world today, and it's important to look for points of contact because evangelism begins with loving your neighbor, and friendships begin with having something in common. A point of contact is this truth about the natural world. Ecology is big on people's minds today. And we all agree that we are called to care for the world around us. And we all agree that nature suffers because of humanity's problems and sins. So far, we are in agreement with our non-Christian friends and neighbors. But Christians properly refer to nature or the environment, as they say. We refer to it as creation because it was created by our God. A God who is further beyond it than we are, beyond the insects or the amoebas. God is holy apart from this world and created it out of his own beneficence. Not because he needed anything, but out of pure love. God places humanity in the midst of this creation to be, as you've heard me say to the kids, as the priest to creation. Now, in America, we don't use priestly language a lot for pastors, although we've got some former Episcopalians here who are familiar with that language, I know for sure. But a priest is someone who is basically a mediator. He talks to God on behalf of the flock and brings from God messages to the flock. This is what it means to be made in God's image. That's the purpose, at least part of the purpose, of that language in the book of Genesis. We are here to care for our creation, the creation that God has given to us. But when we fail to do that, when we failed in our ancient humanity, and when we fail today to represent God faithfully to the world, when we sin, to put it bluntly, everyone and everything around us suffers, including the creation. This is why, as St. Paul writes in the book of Romans, chapter 8, he says, the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. What St. Paul's getting at in that passage is that creation shares our destiny. Jesus Christ came to save sinners, of whom I am chief, as St. Paul said. And each of us should confess that, not looking on the sins of others, but looking upon our own. But in doing that, in saving those whom he placed within the creation to care for it, he will save creation itself, renew it. A new heaven and a new earth is how the book of Revelation concludes. When the resurrection of our flesh occurs, then will all creation share in the renewal that will be ours as the children of God. But because of our sin, because of our sin, we would never experience that exaltation. We'd be forever separated from the glory intended for us as children of God, were it not for Jesus Christ. Colossians details for us, as does the Gospel of John, Jesus is not just our Redeemer. He is the one through whom God created all things. And without Him, not one thing was made that is made. He secures glory for us through His perfect life. He did what no human being did before Him. Those of you who are in confirmation or starting confirmation and are here, here's your trick question. Everyone gets it every year. Who is the first human in the Bible? And the answer is not Adam or Eve. It is Jesus. For Jesus is humanity as humanity ought to have been but for our sin. His life, though He was a son, as our passage we just heard detailed in an ancient hymn of the church, ancient when St. Paul wrote the letter of Philippians so that he could quote it to the Philippian church. Though He was in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped onto and clutched with both hands, but instead emptied Himself and took the form of a servant. In other words, the form of perfection is servanthood. Jesus, through His obedience, as it said in the book of Hebrews, was perfected by that obedience. When Christ said the last would be first and the first would be last, He didn't just say it and teach it like a principle. He walked it out in front of us and lived it. He took the form of the greatest servant who has ever lived so that we might not be servants to sin, that we might be set free from our strivings and our status games and our playing with one another and trying to one-upmanship and learn that real joy, real life is found in this holy thing we call servanthood. Because servanthood is another form of love. For now, hearing the proclamation that we are set free by Christ, we participate in His victory through repentance, which is turning away from everything that is less than God toward God Himself. We are purged of our sin. We are washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. And we become holier in our labors through imitating His servanthood to others. See, Christ was exalted not because of His power seeking or His status and claiming to be able to and being able to give orders to angels, but instead because He took the lowest place and served the most faithfully. He did nothing, as our passage just said, from selfish ambition or conceit. That is why it is through Christ alone, Christ alone, that we are saved, that we bless, that we walk and live and learn how to love in a way that is true life and life-giving. It is Christ alone who perfectly empties Himself, who takes our wages of sin, who is glorified, and now through the Holy Spirit grants us the faith. The faith to trust in Him. The faith that He lives in us and we in Him as He lives in the Father and the Father in Him. There are a couple of therefores in today's passage. And as one preacher who's better with one-liners than I am said, he said, whenever you come across a therefore, you stop, you pause, and you ask yourself, what is the therefore there for? Therefore connects two ideas, meaning that you can't start that as your Bible quote and hope to understand. You got to go back to the previous idea and see how they're interconnected. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, we hear in Philippians. What's that therefore? Because he willingly took the lowest place, God lifted him up above all other names, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. That bowing, my wife and daughter were with me last week in Chicago, and every time when this particular group of pastors is together, whenever the name of Jesus is said, everyone in the room bows. That bowing is the liturgical equivalent of kneeling. It just, for those of us with old knees, is easier. But there's another therefore in our passage. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Therefore, since Christ has secured the victory, he's saying, since Christ has taken the lower spot, as none of us were willing to do, therefore we now can participate in his victory. We can have the courage to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling and take the long, hard road of learning to die to ourselves without fear of losing ourselves, for he has secured us. We can become better husbands, wives, friends, leaders, followers, servants in our families, in our friendships, in our work, in our communities, and in our world. Therefore, we, because of Christ alone, therefore we can participate in what he is doing in the world. Did Gene tell you what he was
doing? God, he just told him that God revealed something to him today.
Okay, so we don't often do this as Lutherans, but we're doing a lot of stuff this morning we don't often do. I like the Amen course. I heard the dog barking before. I'm not used to talk back, but that's good. I'm okay with it. One of our members felt that God revealed something to them this morning and asked if there was a good moment to share it in the sermon that he could come forward. So I'm going to invite him to do it. Gene, I can't see you, but here he is. I see him there. It just feels like this is the right moment in the sermon to do this.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I caution all of you, be very, very careful what you say to my dear friend Michael. I love Michael. So many of you I love deeply. Too many of you I don't know well enough to love deeply, but I still do. So when I say to you, God spoke to me this morning, I will accept that some of you will be very, very skeptical. God speaks to people way more important than me. The scripture is filled with his direct communication with our Lord, and so many of the most important leaders of our churches, not to guys like me. But early this morning, as I directed myself downstairs to work out, God said, not down, but out. As clear as Michael's words to me this morning. Not down, but out. So out I went. And not unlike what you're seeing in front of you, around you. I was moved with a message not in his words but in his demonstration that we are desperately called to speak to a world that in some very broad way believes that the world has, forgive the phrase, gone to hell in a handbasket, that we are populated by people who have no faith, no concern for others, and are all egocentric. And I'm here to say that isn't true. Not just looking around at the people that you're surrounded with, but looking at what he has created. As I walked hundreds of yards into our forest, I was struck by the magnificence of the light coming from God's sun. And you can interpret that phrase a number of ways, all of which are fantastic. The light coming from God's sun was so intense that as I turned the corner, there was a tree that looked like it was ablaze. It was pure white. It was pure goodness, sending us everything we need from the only source that we need. Not down, but out. I think that's my new mantra. I think for those of us who believe, those of us who care, and I think that's 98% of everyone that we're surrounded by. I think there's 2%, yes, pure evil, I get it. But the purity, the love, the concern, the creation, it surrounds us. And God wanted to make sure that today I did not go down, I went out.
Thank you.
Thank you, brother.
Not down, but out. That sounds like exactly what St. Paul is saying. Because Christ came down, we can go out with the message of reconciliation, taking up again our priestly mantles which we have put down, mediating his grace to his world, first and foremost by telling the story of his son and by showing love in his name, and by blessing those we bless. We bless animals today in anticipation of the day when all creation will be renewed. And we give thanks to God that we have his promise that that will happen. When St. Paul says, I'm poured out like a drink offering on your faith. If you don't know what a drink offering is, you have to go back to the book of Numbers. The Hebrews have just suffered a terrible defeat at the hands of the Amalekites because they went to war without God's blessing and without God's instruction. But God introduces the drink offering to them as a reminder that he is true to his covenant and his promises, even when they are disobedient, even when they have made mistakes and sinned. We can bless others in the pure light of what God has done for us because Christ came down. We can go out. Would you join me for a word of prayer? Lord, we know that you are true to your word, that in the end all things will be renewed through your Son, Jesus Christ. Keep him focused in our minds and in our hearts. Help us to trust him completely, that we may have the courage to bless those who curse us, to step boldly into dangerous situations knowing that we are secure, to show love to those who feel unloved, and to touch with the redeeming hand, with the power of your Spirit within us, all those in need of that touch. Our friends, our family, are animals, the whole creation, that we may offer to you what you have first given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, signs of your gracious love. We ask it in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Be thou my best start in the day and the night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence, my light.